Well, I'll never be the same again. Well, I'll never be the same again. Since I've walked where my Jesus walked, I'll never be the same again. Oh, well, I'll never be the same again. I said I'll never be the same again. And since I've walked where my Jesus walked, don't leave, I'll never be the same again. I tell you what, not anybody can sing an R sharp but me. These quartets change keys and people clap. I change them and they look at each other and frown. But I'll never be the same again. But I cannot sing like Brother Curtis. And I cannot sing like Brother Jonathan. But this is the seventh thing I know. I've got another tune. What a night, what a night, what a night, what a crowd to preach to. Well, we're still suffering in Arkansas. It's serious business. This Thanksgiving, we all went to McDonald's and had to eat hamburgers. We sent our turkey to Washington. Well, what a day, what a day. Aren't we having a time? Don't you feel sorry? Somebody said, what would you be if you weren't Pentecostal? Well, I'd be either getting it or I'd be ashamed. I believe in this Pentecostal experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you charismatic? No, I couldn't spell it. I just want to tell you tonight, I believe in an old-fashioned experience of the baptism in the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. Ooh, hell, one lady said, Brother Brankle, a ball of fire hit me. I never did speak in tongues. What did I get? I said, you got a ball of fire. But you you need to speak in tongues. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, hallelujah. God is good. And I'm glad I got in. I'm glad I got in really without all of this extra paraphernalia. Nobody had to blow on me to blow me over. I don't know anything about this huff and puff religion. I'm upsetting you, but I planned on it. You watch Christian TV all day and you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. We don't have many like Pastor Libby that'll preach God's word. We don't have many. We need voices like this to preach God's word and not some gimmick. I'm fed up with shysters and gimmicks. The only time I listen to some of them is when I want to get mad enough to stay awake. I was driving down the road and I had one on the radio and he said, if you'll send me $100, I'll send you my blessed purse. And I prayed over it and you'll never have any more financial trouble. And he spent 15 minutes telling me about that blessed purse. And I thought, why don't you use it and shut up and get to preaching? Say amen. Some of them on there. Probably have paint poison. I get amazed at what all's on there. My heart trembles. I pray, Lord, give us a revival that'll produce reality. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with the devil sowing worldliness in our church through TV. I don't think you heard me, but I'll try it on again. But I'm believing that God wants to give us a real revival, a genuine revival. And let me express my appreciation tonight to everyone that has made us feel so at home. I've never preached to a finer congregation, I don't guess. This is my kind of folks. They believe like I believe. At least there's part of you do, and some of you may not, but the Lord will forgive you. But what a time we're having. I do not know of anyone that Nita and I appreciate any more and love any more than we do the Libbys, and we just got confidence in their lives. And God has raised them up to be a spiritual leader in this part of the world. New England, God has given you a privilege of having a visitation from God. And I'm grateful for this church and its influence and these ministers that have come to be with us. Thank you for the good singing, the good worship. Brother Jonathan, I like that. Ooh, Lord, bless you. And little Jonathan, you're my kind. Isn't that something? Hey, chip off the old block. Is it your uncle John Garlock, Brother John Garlock, spent so many years in HB? Yeah. H.B. Garlock, can I tell it? I guess I can. I'm up here. H.B. Garlock went back to witness in the remote brush of Africa with an interpreter. When he got there, savages came out of the city and told Brother Garlock through his interpreter, "We're going to eat you." They were cannibals, and they said, "We're going to eat Garlock." And Garlock did what I'd want to do. If you're going to eat me, I want to ask the blessing on it. You know about it. He bowed his head to pray, and when he did, the Holy Ghost came on him. It's a language so difficult, very few know it. But he began to speak in other tongues in their language and talked about a God that was great enough to deliver, and they ran like they were set on fire. Woo! I said, our God's big enough. Brother, woo! Hallelujah. It's real. You see, that's the kind of folks I believe in. I've had the privilege of preaching with A.M. Trotter, and that's Brother Garlock's aunt. We've preached meetings together and preached down through the years, one of the greatest preachers. And so we're delighted to be with you and glad to be in the Libby Motel across the street. We've enjoyed being there. The room just across from us is inhabited by Church of God folks. And but the lightness, we've had a great time of being and enjoyed the fellowship with these folks. And we just learned to fellowship and have a great time together. Good to see my friend Melvin McKnight here. Melvin and his beautiful bride. Melvin and I's paths cross. We don't get to hear each other's preach. But I got a tape here a while back. Somebody gave it to me. Living Above Snake Level. Man, I got excited about that. I forgot how high it is. How high is it you can't have another snake? You remember? 10,000 feet, not another snake. I'm moving up. If you're living at 9,250, you're too low. Go a little higher. Let's sing Higher Ground. But this is my friend, and so good to be here. Of course, Brother and Sister Peer, we preach for them at the school over and over and over. And Brother and Sister Libyan, a host of other friends and relatives, too numerous to mention. But we're glad to be with you. I better get down to business. I don't like long-winded preacher. But that was a preacher said that. God will get him. Well, let me get down to business. Preacher was preaching from the minor prophets, and he got to Zechariah and said, what will we do with him? Cowboy stood up in the back and said, he can have my seat. I'm going home. Well, it's real. I feel at home in church. I feel so much at home till I get carried away. Forget when to start. Let me see. I've got some glasses in one of these pockets. Can't hardly buy a good pair of glasses for $9 anymore. If you have your Bibles, would you like to turn with us for the reading of God's holy word? From the book of books, we're going to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. The King James Version said it was written to the church of God. Some of them acted like assembly. But in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, see, this is a Pentecostal letter. A lot of folks have tried to open our mail and read it, but they don't understand it. See, until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's hard for you to understand a Pentecostal letter. See, you'll stay confused reading other folks' mail. But oh, this is a book written to Pentecostals. But there were some of them not living too good, so we're going to let whoever wants to claim them have them. But in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading only one verse. Very seldom do I read one verse for a text. But verse number 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, and I think I'm hearing a lot of uncertain sounds inside of the full gospel ranks. I preached 25 years and never heard it said, I don't know what to believe. I just want to serve notice on you. Our old timers that birthed this Pentecostal message knew exactly what they believed. Never heard a church member say, I don't know what to believe in the early days. I cross America, like many of these evangelists. And I almost as a password, I don't know what to believe. We're hearing so many voices, so much confusion inside of the church world. There's an outside world that doesn't know what to believe about us. Men that have held high position have fallen by the way and brought reproach to the cause of Jesus Christ. What's happened in the last week in Waco, Texas, even though he's a wacko, we're branded under that same banner. And the world is calling anybody that is a fanatic for Christianity, a little bit loony with the crowd. We're suffering reproach from a lot of the things that are happening. We've lost our national voice for Pentecost in the world. We have very few today in national circles that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. So tonight I want to talk to you about if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? May we pray. Our God and our Father, I come again through the worthy name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, to know your power is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I ask for that anointing, that quickening, that enablement, that divine touch of God that will lift us above our limited ability. Oh God, would you touch our lips that they may speak as the pen of a ready writer. And may the countenance of the King be upon this gathering tonight. And let this tabernacle be a baptistry for you to baptize us afresh in the glorious power of the Holy Spirit. Grant us victory tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. And for your glory, touch us with thy Holy Spirit. Amen. We were born a revival generation. Our Pentecostal church was born in revival. Storefronts, tents, open air meetings, brush arbor meetings in the South. We were born a revival movement. Pentecostal revivalists sprang up everywhere. Men greatly used of God. I'm seeing an erosion of evangelism inside of our fellowship today. We were born a holiness movement, and I see an extreme erosion of holiness inside of our fellowship today. I asked, what will happen if we drift as far in 5 years as we have in the last five? My soul cries, God, would you give us just one more real revival? Not a scheduling of an evangelist necessarily, but a real visitation from God that doesn't take any gimmicks or doesn't take a cheerleader to promote, but just a revival from the heart of God. My soul is crying for revival. We need a revivalist in the land. There's too few of us, Brother Melvin. There's too few of us, Brother Preble. Too few real revivalists. We have entertainers. We have record salesmen. We have leg lengtheners. We have programmers that know how to program you for the meeting. They've already planned you to program you before. We have between pastorates. We have prosperity teachers. We have tongue-talking teachers. They'll take you in the back room and they know how to baptize you, but when you get out, you'll only have what they gave you. We have TV stars, we have fundraisers, and we have glory lovers. Not an amen in the crowd. But I just thought I'd tell you, real old-fashioned revivalists are a scarce item in 1993. But there's no room in the inn. The church is so filled. We've got a ski trip planned in January. We're going to go to the Holy Land. The next week, we've got a sweetheart banquet coming up, and the Doughboys Quartet will be with us next Sunday. We've got an Orlando trip to Disney World the next week. Softball schedule starts in a few days. We've got our WMs. Our women's are going to have their ministries meet. We've got a fishing tournament planned. The Mother of the Year contest is on, and looks like Susie May win. Thank you for those amens. I heard one. We've got family camp coming on, and I didn't say all these were bad. We've got youth camp coming on. We've got kids camp coming on. We've got the ministers meet coming on. The college choir tour was coming then. We've got youth convention. Then we've got the ladies are going to meet for the aerobic class in some churches. Love the way you're looking at me. And then Paul and Jan are going to be in town, and we can't have anything that week. And there's a will seminar we're going to hold the next week to get the wills all made out. Then there's nothing close to Thanksgiving, and we've got law enforcement week. And then we're going to start practicing for the Christmas cantata, and then winter's a bad season. We get the flu. And then we've got a fundraising seminar and sell cakes. And then the pastor's vacation, I forgot to tell you about that. And then we are going to have one man who lost his credentials with the movement, Brother Romeo, and he'll be here. We didn't aim to use him, but he can draw a good crowd. Ooh, I love the way you're shouting now. I thought I'd just start right in the middle to see how long we could last. There's no room in the end. Our churches are filled with everything but a revival. Would God give us one more real Holy Ghost revival in the land? I said one more real Holy Ghost revival in the land. Could we cut off the idiot box long enough? Could we clear the calendar long enough? Could we make room to just have one real old-fashioned revival come to the land one more time? My soul is crying for revival. My heart cries for revival. Oh God, would you visit us again? Would you visit us again with a Holy Ghost revival? I begin to read my text tonight. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, I went through the Bible and took a little look at what was the obligation of the man who sounded the trumpet. You see, they sounded the trumpet when there was war imminent in the land. The Bible said, if you see the sword coming and do not sound the trumpet, their blood will be required at your hand. Mister, we're not in an RV camp. I want to say it again. We're in a battle for our lives. I said, we're in a battle for our lives. I just picked up a little article here, and I found that I'll give you the bill number that wants to make homosexuality and lesbianism a civil rights issue. If it becomes a civil rights issue, your preacher is under pressure. The headlines of this bill. Battle for our lives. Could the church be closed because of a civil rights issue? Bill number SB 574 and HR 1430. I do not know if it's been voted on or voted down by now. I'm trusting and praying that it is. But I want you to know revival will not come from Washington. It'll come from the church, and the only hope for our nation is a strong church baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Let me read what the homosexuals are saying. Just a few days ago, our president invited them into the White House to meet with him. Michael Swift, a well-known gay activist, said, "All laws banning homosexuality activity will be revoked. Instead of legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men, all churches who condemn us will be closed." If our president has his way, the church will receive the very bashing of its life and persecution. Unbelievable. My heart trembles when I realize that all churches that condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. The following is a quote by the same man taken from an article wrote in the gay community. "We shall sodomize your schools, your dormitories, your gymnasium, your locker rooms, in sports arena, in seminaries, and in your clubs and youth groups and movie theaters, bathhouses, army bunkhouses, and truck stops, and all male clubs and in houses of Congress, wherever men are men together. Your sons will become our minions and our bidding, and they will be recast in our image. They will come to crave and adore us." And that is the largest lobby group in Washington, D.C., that's influencing your senator and your representative. The only disease that's so protected by the American legislature is AIDS, and AIDS is protected like no other disease. Unbelievable. You can't ask a man if he has AIDS if he's joining the army. You can't ask him if he have AIDS if he cooks in your restaurant, if he works in your medical building. It's unbelievable. They're suing a hospital just now, a few days ago, because they put a sign on the hospital door, "Caution, AIDS victim in the room." Can I talk to you, church? We're not dealing with the ordinary now. We're battling the powers of hell. Let me give you just a little something. Vice President Gore said that Christians are a blight to the environment and a threat to the survival of humanity. I don't think you're hearing me. Did you hear what I'm hearing? Get ready, church. It'll cost you something to be a Christian. No doubt, God will have to break the economy of America before we'll wake up. For when God broke the economy in Russia, Russia now is crying out, "Give us revival, give us revival, give us revival." They're crying. You can pass out Bibles in any school. And do you know what the threat in Russia is? The biggest threat in Russia is TV evangelists that will bring down the standard. Can I talk to you today? We've got to have a revival that'll produce righteousness in the land. Here's another bill that's before Congress right now. It's bill number H.R. 423 and H.R. bill number 431, which would make a homosexual and a lesbian a social, a civil rights issue for housing for every phase of life. There is 5, 6, 7 pages that names place after place, building codes, and everything comes under the banner. You're not living in an ordinary world. We've never lived in a world like this. Will America burn? David Wilkerson said, I saw every borough in New York City afire. Every borough afire with judgment of God. Mister, I believe it. No nation that's had the light we've had and the truth we've had and the Bibles we've had and the Word of God we've had and turn our back on Jesus Christ and vote for prosperity rather than righteousness and truth. We're in for the judgment of God upon our land. Will America burn? Let me give you just something else before I get to my message. Not long ago, the Time magazine met their finest journalists and authors, their finest analysts, news analysts and journalists and authors got together. They wrote 90 pages. I'll not read 90 pages to you. I'll not take time, but I need to wake us up. America's not awake, and we need a revival. Let me just read what they said will be in the near future. The plans. Now, these liberals are not only predicting this, but they're working to promote it. Follow me closely. Number one, they predicted in this meeting, 90 pages, the leading men in Times magazine called a meeting. And here's number one, the family as we have known it will soon die. It is nothing more than an interesting anomaly, a mere blip in human history. We thought of it normal, but we were wrong. Did you hear that? You destroyed the family. You've destroyed the church. You destroyed the church. You've destroyed a nation. And you've turned the nation into hell. Let me read again from the Word. Replacing it with multiple marriages, what is known as serial monogamy. Divorce will be considered normal, and some marriage contracts will only have a limited time on it, so that it'll run out of time. Number three, many women will live together with other women, much like the Golden Girls are depicted. Children will live with a bewildering array of relatives, mothers, fathers, multiple stepmothers, stepfathers, stepbrothers, stepsisters, grandparents, and former grandparents. The taboo against incest will weaken. Do you hear me? It's up already 267% in the last few years. Nita and I were driving in a few months ago, just a few weeks ago now, from up on the Nebraska line, driving across Kansas in the most conservative area. Educators. Now, I'm not talking about some far out person. These were educators from Kansas City, were on the news and on the radio in a talk show and said, we need it taught in our school that sex with children should be a considered lifestyle. Do you hear it? Fathers with little daughters. It's a war of pedophilia. Can I challenge you, church? There's only one group that can stand against this, and that's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Awake! Awake! We're drifting. We're drifting a nation. You see, what's in the world is seeping into the church, and the church is losing its ability to stand against the darkness that's invading the world. Not long ago in New York City, the Reader came out. I have a copy of it. Teaching, my daddy has a new friend. He sleeps with him. He eats with him. It's a Reader for first graders. Do you hear? They're captivating the mind of our youth. The devil works number one on the youth. The youth of America, the devil zeroed in on our youth with rock music, and now they call it Christian rock. There is no such thing. You might as well talk about a Pentecostal liquor store. Awake, America! And our churches are having these groups to come. We need a revival that'll wake us up and bring us back to our senses with God Almighty. Can I talk to you today? Awake! Awake, America! Incest. The New York school board fired the superintendent that wanted first graders to have sex education. In the school, they fired him for first graders. When they did ABC, made him the man of the week, the most valuable man in America. I don't think you're hearing me. The man that wants to wreck your children was number one in America's week because he was the man of the week. I want to tell you who's the man of the week and the man of the year and the man of eternity. And that's my Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me take you a little further in this report. Children will taboo against incest will weaken. The fractured family will consist of relatives, non-relatives, former relatives, breakdown of the obsolete prohibition against intimacies in the home, incest. There will be more older people and fewer children than ever before. The trend will be toward childness will accelerate. Children will be routinely victimized. They'll be bounced from home to home, from family to family, and splinter and reform. Many will have no care, no one to care for them. We're already in a world today that we've got a problem we don't know how to solve. Am I right? School teacher in the church in Justin a few weeks ago in Texas said, Brother Brankle, if you'll visit the school today, you'll have no faith in the future of America. My friend, we need a revival. Let me talk to you just a little bit further. Pediatricians will teach children about the use of condoms at the time of their vaccination against disease. Do you hear? I never thought I'd have to use and desecrate the pulpit with this kind of language. I never dreamed it'd be necessary, but in the churches I'm preaching in, I'm seeing the devil hold high carnival. And did you read the statistics the other day? I know it covers the entire church spectrum, but the statistics of broken homes and infidelity and immoral living in the church was not a great deal different than it was in the world. Can I ask the church tonight to find a cleansing fountain that'll wash away the filth of sin? My heart cries. Theology and the study of God's Word and the Bible will soon die. Children of tomorrow will have no knowledge of spiritual matters, not even of interest in the topic. The triumph of feminist religion will cause many Christians and Jews to shun reference to God as a personal pronoun. He will no longer be called our Heavenly Father. He'll be called a heavenly person. And they've already edited the Bible to take all of the pronoun masculine out of it. Let me shout today, my God is more than a feminist. He's God Almighty, my Heavenly Father. Amen. Awake, America. I could go on. There's 90 of them, but I don't have time. My heart cries for revival. Something's got to happen in the home. Well, who's to blame? Let me tell you who it is. Preachers, it's up to you and I to sound the trumpet. I said, preachers, it's up to you and I to sound the trumpet. If there's a revival in the church, it'll have to come in the parsonage too. Give us a revival in the parsonage. Give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let preachers have a Holy Ghost heartburn, and we'll start a revival across America today. Awake, awake. This revival died in the parsonage. I know there's churches the Apostle Paul could not pastor. I know churches that are bogged down, and they're so political and so maneuvered by men and the leadership of men that you can't do anything until you have a good falling out. Say amen. My friend Gene Jackson was riding on a plane, and he was reading his Bible, and a friend turned to him and said, I guess you're a Jesus freak. And he said, if you want to call me a freak, I guess I am. I'm a Jesus person. He said, I guess you believe there's a real devil. He said, I sure do. He said, don't you? He said, no. He said, evidently you've never attended a Pentecostal business meeting. Ooh, I love the way you're shouting now. Brother God, wake us up. We are in need of revival. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, we are not only to sound when there's a battle, but we're a watchman. God set us a watchman on the wall. I never will forget, I was 15 years old. I was pastoring my first church. I told you the other night, or this morning, a lot of wisdom flowed out of that pulpit. They invited me to preach at a preacher's meeting. I was 15 years old. I didn't even have a concordance. I went over to my... I was raised in a home where the Bible was read. Dad read that Bible every night by the light of a lamp. We had to sit on a trunk right behind him. You dare not whisper while he read that. He could backhand you and stay spiritual. My old-fashioned mom would come around, all three of us freckle-faced boys. Is there anything in your heart tonight that keep you from going if Jesus come? Have you got it? Man, she'd point her finger. She'd say, boys, one of these clouds out here is going to have Jesus in it, and this may be the night, and you better get it right. Then she'd lay hands on us and shake the daylights out of us. She couldn't pray for you till she shook you. I was raised in a home where the Bible was read and God's Word was predominant in our lives. But let me tell you, I found out there's one answer to the problems of this society. They've not had some training inside of the home. Don't you depend on the church to do it all. You've got to start a revival prayer meeting in your home. Well, I was raised in that, but I was invited to preach my first preacher's meeting. They said, Brother Don, would you come and preach at the preacher's meeting down across the way? I went over to my prayer place. I had a place over in Dad's pasture. I built me an altar out of rocks. And the Bible said not to hew them, so they were rough. And I went over there and I got down to pray and I said, Oh God, if you'll give me a message, I'll preach it. I don't care what it is. Lord, give it to me. I'm going to go preach to these preachers, and I don't know what they need, but you do. And I'll never forget it. Lord, I don't advise it. I don't advise it. But I didn't even know it was in the Bible. It gave me, I think it's Isaiah 56:10. All of my watchmen are dumb dogs, and they won't bark. And I preached on dumb dogs that won't bark. I said, you preachers better get to barking. Love to lie down and slumber. Bark! I wondered why I didn't get any invitation for revivals. Nobody felt led to call me that day. Can I challenge you? There's an enemy coming. Sound the trumpet, church. Sound the trumpet, you ransomed of Zion. Not only did they sound when they saw an enemy coming, but when they crowned a new king. Well, I got news for you. Washington, D.C. may wash out, and the kingdoms of this world may crumble, but we're about to crown a new king. Woo! I heard in Revelation they threw their crowns at his feet and cried, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and majesty and might. Sound the trumpet, we're going to crown him King of Kings. Well, let's go a little farther. Not only were they to sound the trumpet when they crowned the king, but at the year of Jubilee. Woo! Brother, year of Jubilee was the 50th year. You can turn the old mule out. We're not going to work this year. It's time to serve the Lord. Well, they were not only that, but under the attack from the army, they were to touch. Under attack, they were to sound an extreme alarm. Then when it was offering time, we might ought to sound it again. We almost got it tonight. Sound the trumpet, it's offering time. When they were together at the tabernacle, they were sound the alarm. Can I shout tonight and tell you, it's time we sound the trumpet and we gather at the house of God and start another prayer meeting. The sounding of an alarm. But let me talk to you tonight about four trumpets. The unheard trumpet. I'm aware tonight the world is sounding their trumpet. The sex educators know what they want. They want to wreck your children's minds. The authors of the books that are feeding into our school are coming out of the New Age movement, and they want to filter your children's mind. Come on. We're in a world, the alcohol crowd knows what they want. They want to make it look like you can't have a party or you not have fun unless you're drinking some of their slop. Can I talk to you? The outside world knows what they want. It's about time the church knows we know what we want. We want a revival of the Holy Ghost. Sound an alarm. There's an unblown trumpet. Can I ask you, preacher, tonight? Can I talk to you tonight? Are we going to sit idly by and let our church lose sight of this Pentecostal experience? I've lived to see Ephesus lose its first love. I've lived to see the Pentecostal church of Pergamos embrace a false doctrine. I've lived to see Sister Thyatira, Jezebel teaching Thyatira, and loose living inside of the church and immoral practices. Come on. I've lived long enough to see Sardis with a name that on the marquee that it's alive, but it's dead. I've lived long enough to see a Laodicean church that's totally confused and do not know what condition they're in. They think they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Mr. God said we're lukewarm, wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. I'm ready to lift my voice and shout, let's return to God and return to righteousness. The unheard trumpet. We don't hear many voices today that's preaching repentance. I don't hear many voices preaching the cross. I don't hear many voices today preaching righteousness. I'm hearing a lot of bless you and a lot of prosperity doctrine and a lot of possibility thinking and dream your own dream. Mister, I want to challenge you tonight. We're not ready to pay the price for old-fashioned religion. I know tonight. I cross America, and I work primarily in the Assemblies of God, but I see an erosion that's troubling me. I see a church that needs a Holy Ghost revival. I see a church that needs people baptized in the Holy Ghost. I cross the Pentecostal fellowship, and I'm crying, Lord God, let the Holy Ghost fall again. I see mothers and dads that have not been in the altar in months that haven't had a refilling of the Holy Ghost. They're satisfied to meet and sing a few courses and have a big time and clap their hands, but never pray a revival down. Give us somebody to sound them a trumpet. Come on, preachers. God's calling on you and I. We're shepherds. We're bishops of men's souls. We're eternal warnings. Let's lift the trumpet to our lips and shout. Sound it loud. Jesus is about to come. We're in the last round and we're getting ready for the King to come back again. Hallelujah. My soul cries out. Oh, my God, my God. The atheists do not believe there is a God. But I believe there's as much hope for an atheist that doesn't believe there isn't a God as I do for a church that believes there is one and doesn't do anything about it. If He's as real as we're saying He is, if He's as real as we say He is, then it's high time we glorify Him, we live for Him.
I'm worried tonight when I see a Pentecostal church fall into the same trap that the denominational world down the street has fallen into. When I see buildings closed on Sunday night and prayer meeting is gone. When I see us built on nothing more than entertainment and motivation. Motivation will build a church. We've got motivators that can get a crowd together in excitement. But I'm crying. Give us back our altar. Give us back a place where men weep and pray and cry till the heavens open. I want something sovereign that doesn't take a motivator to cause it to happen. Just let the Holy Ghost flow through the church. Nobody needs to blow on you to you to be fall into the Spirit. I don't even have to have hind catchers. If you fall and you're not in the Spirit, it ought to hurt you. Say amen. And if you're in the Spirit, it won't hurt you. Hallelujah. This thing's real. Give us a one more revival. Sound the trumpet. Oh, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, there's an unheard trumpet today. I was out and I started to tell you where. These tapes have a way of getting there, and I don't have Nixon's secretary. But I was preaching a camp meeting. And the man in charge of the camp said, I am glad this day of these hellfire and brimstone preachers from Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas is over. I'm glad we don't have to put up with them now. I was out at the camp meeting when he said it. I preached in the night service. We had a morning speaker. I very seldom go to the afternoon because I try to get a little rest and prepare to preach. And the Bible said old men will dream dreams, and you can't dream dreams if you're awake. And so if you're going to fulfill prophecy, you've got to lie in a horizontal position. I'm out at the camp and I hear him say it. And I took high blood pressure of the Spirit. He said, I'm glad that day of hellfire preachers is over. I went back to my cabin. I'm not going to blame God for all of it. There may have been a little bit of Don Brankle involved in this, but I kind of believe the Lord had something to do with it. I preached on hell that night, the hottest I've ever preached for 1 hour in my life. And that was the man that wrote my check. And I knew that was my last night, and the camp just started. See, it went for 10 days, and this is only about the second, third night. And I knew it's walk home, Don. But brother, you'd rather walk home than be a coward. I preached on hell as hard as I could, and knowing it was my last night, goodbye, Don, we're through with you. Because he's the very fellow that said that afternoon. But, but something happened. I was figuring it was my last night. I was prepared for it. But he had a long-haired old boy that was a rebel. He couldn't do anything with him, and he'd rebelled against parental authority. And he came up to see a little girl on the campground. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of that shaggy-headed old boy, and he ran down the aisle and fell in the altar and got saved. And I got to stay. It works, it works. Come on, sound the trumpet, church. Sound the trumpet, preacher. Sound the trumpet, sound the trumpet. See, there's the unblown trumpet. Nobody to sound. Where is their old-fashioned repentance preached? Where is righteousness preached? Well, then there's the unheard trumpet. See, some of our preachers have traded their trumpet for a flute. This crowd over here needs this. You can't hardly hear it. Praise the Lord. Pray for me, I'll hold up to the end. Bless your little thumping heart. Can I talk to you? We've calmed this thing down. I'm about ready to come out. I heard Isaiah say, cry loud! Woo! Shouted, preacher, from the housetop, show my people their sin. Oh. You see, now just don't you run off with my message. I ran into a preacher here a while back, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm a pruning them. Well, now, if you prune them every Sunday, you haven't got anything but a nub left. And I'm surprised that folks come and hear some of us preach. I mean, when we haven't prepared, we haven't sought God, we haven't spent hours in prayer, we haven't filled ourselves with the Word of God, we haven't prepared a meal, we've been too busy fishing, we've been too busy playing golf, we've been running here and there, and we've got a dozen other things, and come on, woo! And we get to church, and everybody can tell it's Blue John, there's no cream left in it, been skimmed. Would you shout now? Oh, you preachers, I wish you'd say amen. The congregation can tell the difference between sandwiches and a prepared meal. I know when it's baloney. Would you shout now? See, when I first started preaching, we didn't have enough money to go to the restaurant or we didn't have a McDonald's, and we couldn't go to the restaurant. We'd buy a loaf of bread and a pound of bologna. You could buy bologna for 29 cents and a loaf of bread for a dime, and 39 cents the whole family could eat. We'd go down the road peeling that bologna and shooting the peelings out the window, and they thought we were shooting rubber bands at them behind. When we got there, they had a preacher full of bologna, but that's not the only one they've had. Come on! It's about time somebody sound the trumpet! Sound it loud! Sound it clear! Let's preach some righteousness again. This success syndrome's got us all scared. We're trying to climb the ladders of political achievement. These ladder climbers can't preach a conviction, Melvin. It's a man with a heart that throbs after God that would rather walk out of town and know he's preached God's word and answer to the king and say, well done, hear him say, well done, than have everything there is in Maine. Give us a revival. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody said, Brother Blankel, do you think you'll change our generation? I may not, but I'll be just like a little feist dog when he goes back in the yard when he barked at the train. I may not have stopped it, but I did my bit. Oh, the unheard trumpet. Jeremiah said, behold, I'm against these prophets who prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Did you hear that word, lightness? And I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Isn't that powerful preaching, Brother Jeremiah? No wonder you wound up to your armpits in a slime pit. Cost you something. Jeremiah said in chapter 23, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Jeremiah again, chapter 8. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now folks, I'm a holy roller, and I'm a Pentecostal. And if anybody in this building believes in shouting, I do. But it's not enough to just come together and have a Pentecostal walk. We've got to somewhere lift the banner high and preach the righteousness of God and the holiness of God one more time. The unheard trumpet. Oh, my heart's crying today. For someone to cry against sin. When I got into Pentecost, we preached against the world. See, I never have been to a picture show in my life. I wouldn't go in that hell hole because I knew Jesus wouldn't come in and get you. And see, it was Mickey Mouse and Gene Autry. I mean, high home silver. But it was the devil's bait to get us started in there. Come on. Someone asked Dale Evans, what do you think of the modern movies? He's a movie star. He said, I don't want Tigger, my horse, to see them. Give us something, Lord, to protect Tigger. The unheard trumpet. Give us a voice in the church today for the man of God that's prayed a fire in his soul, that can walk in the pulpit with tears running down his cheeks and cry aloud and spare not. Give us men that love souls and love the kingdom of God. Men with a pastor's heart that can weep over the condition that's in the family. And cry all night with a broken home and help mend the broken heart. It's a troubled world we're living in. The uncertain trumpet. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, we're blowing jubilee. And really, we're living in a perilous hour. Fair weather prophets and pseudo men are not ready to face the real problems in life today. The real battle, the uncertain trumpets. Our people come to church hardly knowing what to believe. One man gets on TV and says, I don't believe there's a rapture. And the TV host said, isn't that a wonderful revelation? Oh, hallelujah. Ah, I don't see how you got that. And another one comes on and he says, folks, we're on the threshold of the rapture. And Jesus is about to come. And tribulation's about to start. And the same host says, oh, that's a revelation. I'll see how you got it. Am I right? And I love the way you're shouting now. I'm going to upset you. But that's what I'm here for. I'm an evangelist. You're not supposed to like me. Can I tell you there's an uncertain sound? Here comes another one on. And they look like Jezebel's granddaughter. And we just swooned over her. But if she came to your church, you'd backslide if your preacher's wife looked like that. Would somebody, can I preach what I feel? Come on. We need a certain sound that's not got a double edge. We need to believe what we believe. Let's believe it. Let's preach it. Say amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm having a good time tonight. Young man out of one of our cemeteries. I met him the other day. I was preaching a meeting. And he said, do you know what my professor said today, taught in his class? I said, I have no idea. He said today that the reason why that in the early days of Pentecost they shouted that they were poor and ignorant. And he said that was the only way they could vent their feelings. They didn't have any money or any recreation or any outlet. And so, dummy. I know what that PhD should mean behind his name, post hole digger. Come on! I got news for you. I came in when we were so poor. I know what it is to not have money. Well, I was in style before it came in style. I had patent leather shoes, leather uppers, and my feet patting the ground. But I wanted to... But I wasn't shouting because I was poor. I was shouting because I was rich. I've received the baptism in the Holy Ghost with fire. Great God of heaven, would you give us another baptism and we'll have a shout in this church. We'll run these aisles. We'll talk in tongues. We'll believe what we used to believe. We can preach it like Grandpa preached it. Great God, it'll do it. It'll still work. God's still the same. It's real, church. It's real. It's real. And he'll come out of that seminary and he'll be your pastor. And he'll try to put a muffler on you and quieten you down. And he'll be there 6 months and he can take the shout out of nearly any church. But I've got news for you. There's going to be some of us are going to break out again. And God's going to give us a Holy Ghost revive that will awaken a nation for God Almighty. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've already heard Dr. Sounding Brass's lectures. Pastor Chris Laodicean Christian Center. I've already been there. I'm ready and hungry for something to fall in the altar. We've been taught and retaught, and taught and retaught, and seminared and seminared. But we've been pastored with it. But that hasn't produced a revival. I'll tell you what will produce a revival. And that's righteous living and fasting and prayer. You don't need to buy a book on revival. You don't need to. It don't cost you $10.95 to get a book on revival. I can give you one simple verse, and it'll start a revival in every church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! You let Deacon Fence Post get up and confess he's not been praying and talking in tongues, and he's not fit to be a deacon. And I've been sitting in this church, and I've been finding fault, and I've been grumbling and griping, and I want forgiveness. You let the pastor walk out and say, I haven't been preparing my meals, and I haven't sought God like I should. I want the forgiveness. Say amen. You let Sister Mudd get up and say, I've been critical of everybody in this church, and I go home and have roast preacher for dinner and baked preacher for supper, and we feed on the rest of them the rest of the week. This is just as popular as yesterday's newspaper. What's the matter with your shout? You've already lost it. Say amen. If we'll just repent of our jealousy and our pride and our self-righteousness. Say amen. Now, brother, if you're looking at a preacher that believes in holiness, but I'm not interested in a few little sets of rules that somebody made over to your church to try to get everybody to fit in. I'm talking about Bible holiness that'll make lives talk right and walk right and spit right and love the brother and love one another and will practice righteousness. lady came to the preacher and said, "That red tie you're wearing offends me. I just feel like if you was holiness, you wouldn't wear that red tie. And it offends me." And he said, "Sister, would it help you if I let you just cut it off?" And she said, "It sure would." He went and got the scissors, and she came in and reached over and whacked off his red necktie. Because she was holiness. And he said, she said, "I feel much better." He said, "Just a minute, sister. Come back. You've got something that offends me. Stick out your tongue. I want to use these sisters." We're fixing. Ha ha. Come on. Let's have holiness again. Let's have righteousness again. It'll produce a revival in your church. Yes. Sound the trumpet. Yes. Praise the Lord. See, I was in a church not long ago where the pastor called on the wrong pianist to play the piano for that service. They had a rotation system. That's a bad system, but they had the dumb thing. And so he called on the wrong one. And the singers went on strike. Here we are in a revival trying to tell sinners to get saved. And we're saved like a bunch of Church of Christ. Now, if you're a Church of Christ, don't take offense. You just don't have music. And here we were. We're singing, "Won't it be wonderful?" And I'd say, "There." Mister, can you believe you'd have a revival and not a pianist, not an organist will play? They said, "No, sir, we're not going to play. You called on the wrong one. We're saved, sanctified, petrified, and satisfied, and bless the Lord." Where is the trumpets? Come on, preacher! Sin will never enter there! We may not dip snuff. We may not smoke cools. We may not drink Bud Dubber, but some of us have got an attitude that's as mean as a striped spider. You folks up in the cheap seats, are you hearing this? Woo! God's got a revival for the land. I preached my time up. It's an uncertain trumpet. What do people believe? Where do they believe? What are we going to hang on to? I'm going to tell you what you can hang on to. This old book is not out of date. It has not changed. It was good for Grandma and it's good for me. Come on, let the modernists and the liberals preach their little sing-song. They'll send souls to hell, but you give us a church that has an old-fashioned revival and a God-fearing preacher that prayed something down on his knees, that sought God and prepared his heart to preach and walks into the pulpit with a message from God, with his heart burning with a fire from God, that can weep over souls and can cry when the altars are barren. Mister, I'm in plenty of churches where half of the church has not been in the altar in years. And we're asking sinners to come to the altar and bypass half of the church. Mister, there'll never be a revival till we get the church members in the altar. Get the church members back to God. There's the unblown trumpet, the unheard trumpet, the uncertain trumpet, but the one that bothers me the most is the unheeded trumpet. When you do preach it, it go along in your sin. When I tell people you can't be lukewarm and be in the rapture and they never get the fire. When I tell people that the foolish virgins should have been in the altar getting oil before the rapture took place and they walk out the door and never get it. Month after month and week after week, you preach to young people, you can't love up in the car without getting in trouble. And they won't hear you. And you warn them of the filth there is on TV and the video shop, and they don't hear you. When you tell them the filth and the smut of pornography, they won't hear you. When families go home and you tell them the only way to build a happy home is with a family altar, and they don't hear you. It's the unheeded trumpet that bothers me. And the preacher goes home at night with his heart broken, preaches and preaches and cries and prays. He tells men it's going to be a glorious church that's faithful, that makes the rapture, and they don't believe it. It's the unheeded trumpet that breaks our heart. I see young people, and I'm worried about this, come to our altars and leave, and it doesn't change their attitude and their appetite for worldly things. You see, these young people have heard Grandma talk about how she used to have it and what we used to have, and they're fed up with our used to stories. They're saying, show us this revival again. Would you say amen? Come on! Man came to me and called me a young sprout. It said, young sprout? And boy, that's an honor when you've got an ARP card. And he said, young sprout, you haven't seen anything yet. I wish you could have seen the revival I got in under. Well, I said, I wish I could have too. And I said, when was that? And he said, 1927. I said, well, I'd like to have been there, but I hadn't discovered America yet. But I said, I tell you what, sir, I'm seeing you now. I know that stung. I'm trying to be trying on it. Folks, if we're going to talk about what we used to be, it's about time that somebody says, we want to see. Sing us one of those songs again that you sang in Zion. God, I want a real revival. The unheard trumpet. The unheeded trumpet. I'm going to close with this. I preached a meeting the other not long ago with G. Raymond Carlson. G. Raymond was born in Minnesota. His father was a farmer up in northern Minnesota. G. Raymond Carlson said that a man came through their community and said, in 1897, and said, I'd like for you, Mr. Carlson, to gather your neighbors together. I'd like to talk just about the Bible with your neighbors. I have something I'd like to share with your neighbors. And Mr. Carlson, G. Raymond's father, went out and invited the farm people in his community to come over to his house, but they had a guest that wanted to talk to him about the Bible. And they started a prayer meeting in a farm home in northern Minnesota. And the power of God fell on that group of farmers. And they repented and they cried. And it lasted 3 days and 3 nights. The farmers never went home. They never milked their cows. They never fed their horses. They never slopped the pigs. All of you that have milked cows know you can't leave them for 3 days. But it didn't hurt. The cows were not upset. The animals were not disturbed. The Holy Ghost fell. 1897, 3 days and three nights around the clock, they were shut in with God. Shut in with God. All of us, nobody then in that whole community, that I do not know if even in Minnesota, don't think so. No one in Minnesota had ever received the Holy Ghost. And one of them fell out under the power and began to speak in a foreign language. The speaker didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He went over and looked and said, "Friends, I believe, can this be a New Testament Book of Acts experience?" It was the beginning of the Holy Ghost revival. 3 days and three nights lost in God. Do it again, Lord. But let me tell you the rest of the story. G. Raymond said, we checked on it years later, and not a single one that was in that meeting was backslidden. Every person that was saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost still had an experience in God. Come on! We need something to happen in the church that'll give us a depth in God until we'll reach into the very heavenlies and walk in the Holy Ghost. Our young people will be able to say no to drugs and alcohol and sex, no to the movie house and no to the filthy TV, and our moms and dads will have enough of God to put them in a prayer meeting and a Holy Ghost revival. Do it again, Lord. Let's lift our hands and believe Him for one more revival. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I want us to stand to our feet all over this tabernacle and lift our hands just as high as we can get them. And let's pray that we'll go home from this preacher's convention and God in heaven will give us a certain sound from our churches and from our pulpits and from our leaders and from our sanctuary and from our membership and from our board members. Great God! Give us a certain sound of Pentecost again. Would you lift your hands just as high as you can get them and let's worship in the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, come Holy Ghost, my God, let there be a bringing out of revival. Sweep across this New England area. Sweep, O God, through Maine with a surging fire of Pentecost. Let it spring out into New Brunswick, into the Montreal area, Lord, into Connecticut, New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Let there be a sweeping awakening in the land. Let every preacher be a holy dynamo. Let every pastor's wife be a spirit-filled leader. Make every church member a holy example of righteousness in the land. Give us revival again. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, give us a fresh baptism of the Spirit tonight. Give us a fresh baptism of the Spirit. Anoint us with fresh oil. Anoint us with fresh oil, Lord. Oh, God, for fresh oil tonight, I pray. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thou hast not awakened. Thou hast not been born like this. raising up a remnant church. I said, there's going to be a remnant that's going to return to Zion. There's going to be a remnant that's going to see a revival. Let's believe Him tonight. If your heart hungers with mine, if your soul thirsts for Pentecost like mine, would you raise your hands and run toward this altar? Let's turn this into a Holy Ghost meeting and believe God to baptize every one of us again. Let every elder be filled. Gather the elders, gather the children. Let the bride come out of his closet. Let the bridegroom come out, Lord. Let them repent and cry and lie in sackcloth all night and weep and howl, lament and pray for revival in the land. If your heart burns for revival, if your church is barren, if your altars are barren, if your church is cold, let's cry to God for a victory. Let's cry to God for an